Martina Kanky for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on the Ursuline Sisters by Donna de Blasio on March 12, 1975, at 11:20 p.m. at Ursuline High School. Sister Martina, could you tell us about your family background and your educational background?
Well, I was born in Youngstown, and I attended St. Brendan's School in the first grade, and then during World War II, my father was a supervisor for the Ravenna Arsenal, so we moved to the arsenal and lived within the compound there. And I went to school there for 3 years, and then we moved to Akron. I went to school there until sixth grade, and then the sixth grade we came back to Youngstown. Then I attended St. Patrick's in Youngstown, and I went to Ursuline High School. Graduated from Ursuline High School in 1955, and then I entered the Ursuline community. Since then, I've gone to receive my BS degree from Youngstown University. Then I did work in graduate work in English at Notre Dame, work in guidance at Boston College, and John Carroll University, where I received my master's degree in guidance and counseling. I have two sisters and a brother. My father is from Youngstown. My mother is from Pennsylvania. My brother and sisters are married and have families.
What influenced your decision to enter a religious life?
Well, I think that has a lot of, I think that's a lot of things. I think family background has a lot to do with it. You know, coming from my family is a family of faith, and my parents and my brothers and sisters were a very good influence in that area. And then I think when I was at St. Patrick's and here at Ursuline, one day the principal of the high school stopped it and said to me, "Did you ever think about being a nun?" Somehow wanted to identify with them. I think that a lot of those reasons change today. They aren't the same today, why I'm here today, as they were at that time. So I think that's pretty much a reasons why.
Could you describe a typical day when you first entered and then how it's changed?
Well, we entered, let's see, we lived out at the mansion on Logan Road, and we got up very early in the morning at about 5:25, and we had a half hour of prayer before Mass, and we went to Mass, and we ate breakfast. In those days we ate in silence, and we had various work to do, and then we went to college almost all the time. There was some kind of an arrangement through Youngstown University, and some of our sisters taught us. And so we carried a regular, 18-hour, that was on a semester kind of thing. We carried regular 18-hour college load. So much of our time was taken up in studying, doing college work, some classes on how to be a sister. regular periods of physical exercise, that kind of thing. Many of the, you know, like the program, the day was really kind of set up for us. Now the day, you know, each individual sister, you know, sort of controls her own time, except for, you know, like regular job hours, which you can't, you know, like I'm here wrestling from 8 to 11. And that's pretty much controlled. But we have regular periods of prayer and meals. And then outside of that, like we are very active in things outside the community and discussion groups and adult programs. And, you know, let's say in the early days when I entered the convent, we didn't do that kind of thing, we do now. So you can kind of control your own time to some degree, you know.
As a teacher, where did you teach and when?
I taught at St. Charles in Boardman from 1958 until 1964. I taught the 8th grade. Those were very great, you know, good years. I was in the early days of my religious life, but they were exciting, challenging. I liked teaching 8th grade. Started out with, you know, just teaching all same subjects all day long, and then we went into departmental. It was a full day. You know, got up in the morning, went to school, came home, got lessons ready for the next day, you know, prayed and ate and went to bed. You know, kind of thing. And then in 1964, I came to Ursuline. I've been here as Dean of Girls for 11 years.
Could you describe a typical day at Ursuline?
Let's see. As Dean of Girls, I'm in charge of discipline, so that's not the funnest thing to talk about. So a typical day might be in the morning, talking to the people who have to leave early for the doctor's appointments and all that kind of thing, and then hauling in. We have a conduct system that has detentions, and we talk to the girls who skip detention, get that over with first thing in the morning. And then during the day, it's mostly interviewing and, you know, somewhat a lot of counseling for girls who have misbehaved in class or are getting failing grades in some of their subjects, or finding going to class is a problem. And there's sometimes almost any kinds of things that are causing them to have some kind of erratic behavior in school. And then at lunchtime, supervising in the cafeteria is a good way to get to know the kids. And arranging for tutors for people who are sick, or calling homes when there seems to be maybe a truancy, and interviewing parents in this truancy. Kind of typical problems of discipline. I've seen a change in the last 11 years of the kinds of problems that we have in the attitudes toward the rules, and yet they're you could get really down about a job like this because you're always on the negative side, but no matter, you know, every time you talk to a kid that has, you know, is involved in something, you always get to see, you know, either their sincerity or their you know, honesty, or that they really want to do better, and lots of things that are in it. From that standpoint, you know, it's kind of rewarding.
Could you describe special occasions and how they were celebrated among the Ursulines?
I can remember 4th of July when we lived out at the Mother House out at Logan Road. That was a very beautiful place, and was that celebrating 4th of July, of course, was so much different than we had before we entered the convent. They were out in the woods. We had a grill. We had picnics and played games, baseball, that kind of thing during the day. And there were always favors at the table and decorations for throughout the house and entertainment. And then the big highlight of the evening was to sit out on the lawn and watch the fireworks from the Youngstown Country Club across the street. And then to bed at 10 o'clock on the 4th of July. We stayed up later. Stayed up later because the fireworks went until it got dark. So that's where the always remember sitting on the lawn watching the fireworks from the Youngstown Country Club. I'm sure they never knew how much entertainment they were providing for us at that time. Some of the other holidays were always, of course, celebrating a very religious thing, and very beautifully, for instance, Christmas and Easter, as a family of sisters, and then we always, you know, visited or saw our own families afterwards.
What do you remember about
Ursuline
High School when you went there
as a student? Well, there was just the old building. I remember a lot about the grounds. There was a summer house out where the parking lot is now. And at lunchtime, you could go sit in the summer house, and it was beautiful. And then down on Wick Avenue, there was a small creek in the bridge going up. It was just it really had a campus at that time. It was just beautiful. And the old convent was here, and I remember we used to, they had a big porch that faced Wick Avenue, and we used to have our class pictures taken on that porch. And of course, the arts building was here, and the football field, but it wasn't as big as it is now. And the shrine was erected when I was in high school, so it was in about 1954, one of the classes put that up. And when we were seniors, it was the last year for the old building, and there were something like 900 kids in that building then. And they had, like freshmen, had coat racks in the balcony of the library to hang their coat, they didn't even have lockers. We had 24 20-minute lunch periods. We had to keep silence because they had to move it so fast in order to get everybody out. The new building was being built at that time. And the auditorium had movable seats, and that's where we had dances. And I can remember on Friday nights before a dance taking all the movable seats down. I remember a prom that was held there. It was the year Queen Elizabeth's coronation. I think it was either 52 or 54. And they made that into a ballroom. It was just, at that time, I don't remember that much. It just seemed to be about the most beautiful place. I mean, I just couldn't think of that ugly auditorium being that beautiful. There were mostly sisters teaching at that time, too. I think the only lay teachers were Mr. Carey, Mr. Shiro, Mrs. Von Schulich, and maybe two others. So the change now, you know, like there's so many. I think we have 45 lay teachers and 20 some sisters. and the six priests. But it was very much different than, you know, very kind of community could have been developed here at that time, because it was smaller, over 900 in that small building. It was really difficult. And you knew everybody because, or rather, everybody was from all over town. You know, it's only the one high school at that time.
What years of your religious life stand out and why?
I'd say the last 5 or 6. Probably because with the changes in the church, the upheaval, people in religious life, with people leaving, you had to reevaluate your own life and make sure, you know, to come to grips with your own dedication, your own reason for being a sister. And then 3 years ago, I was appointed director of formation for our community, which means I'm in charge of young women entering our community. And that's kind of a call to a kind of growth yourself. You feel that if you're working with young people who are interested in religious life, you certainly better have a good grip on it, and you really want to have something to give. And I've had a lot of opportunities to travel and to learn about new procedures and formation in religious life. I've had an opportunity to work with young women who are interested in religious life. And it's a real call to growth, a real call to interiorizing a lot of things that you were taught a long time ago, but you just really never were sure you assented to. And I'd say these last 5, maybe even 10 years have been good.
What unique things do you remember about any of the convents that you lived in?
Well, the convent here at Ursuline, the old one, was a very beautiful place. This is the one that a lot of the woodwork and the fireplaces from where the Livingston stores and one of the Eastwood Mall and somewhere else. It had stained glass windows with very big, beautiful. Like, I remember ones on this side of the house, the side of the house toward the school, had scenes of birds and bird nests and very delicate colors. Every room had a huge fireplace and marble inlaid floor around it, and high ceilings and chandeliers, big chandeliers, great big huge mirrors that would take up half the wall. A skylight that was also done in stained glass artistic design. And it was 3 floors. It was the kind of thing that by the end of the day at Ursuline, by the time you get up to, I was of course one of the very young nuns here, by the time I got to the 3rd floor to go to bed, you never wanted to come climb down again because it was so up, and I think it was like 4, 6, 5 flights of steps. And it was a haven for bats. We used to spend at least a night a week killing bats. So it was a high house with steeples, and that was a great place for them to be. Kind of reminds you, if you looked at the house from the outside, it always reminds you of the haunted house. It's very dark and bleak on the outside, but very, very beautiful on the inside, actually. But it reminds you of the kind of haunted houses you see in storybooks. But it is gone now. Both of the of those old mansion type homes that we had as convents are no longer. Tore them down. In fact, 3 of them, the one on Main Avenue, too.
What sisters stand out in your memory tomorrow?
There's a sister here at Ursuline that I'm sure many people in the Youngstown area would remember, Sister Regina. She taught chemistry and physics here for years and years and years and years. And here at school, well, they used to call her the bug. Her association with science. And she was a genius in the area of science. She had studied and helped work on the discovery of, I think it was penicillin at Catholic University. And she had some hard times here in school, but I'll never forget when I came to live here as a sister, that whenever there was a dance, she would always be the first one over to see the kids' decorations. She was the kind of person that had a real zest for life. The football players would come home at night after a game, and her window was by the sidewalk, and they'd always yell the score up to her on the way down. She just was always interested in everything the kids would do. And I can remember, too, you just had the, you know, you wanted to help somebody. She was in her 60s, I think. Middle 60s when I came here, and she carried this great big briefcase home every night, and he'd want to help her carry the briefcase up the steps, and she wouldn't let, and she, you know, she just kept on going, you know, she was always involved. She'd take kids to, every year she took kids to Cleveland for science fair, and she always had projects entered into it, and I always thought that was the kind of person I'd like to be, you know, someone who just kept on going and was always interested in what the kids were doing, what's new, and she was a great inspiration. And when she retired, you know, she was, you know, that we often say that you're a very active person, you know, that when you do retire, sometimes you just go really down real fast, and she did, you know, she lived very long after she retired, and I think she was in her early 70s when she retired. And she went to the Mother House and went downhill very quickly. I imagine it was hard for her, but I don't know, maybe that's the way it should be. She really, you know, stands out as a person who influenced me. And that, of course, was after I ended the climb. I had her in class when I was in high school. But I wasn't thinking of being a nun at that time. Individuals I had in grade school who seemed to have a zest for life and a kind of happiness that permeated in my seventh grade teacher. You know, things that you look back on and see that, you know, you may at one time want to be like those people.
What was memorable about the Mother Superiors under whom you served?
Well, Mother Banch was the Mother Superior when I entered the convent. And, you know, she was one who was very interested in seeing that we got an education. And I remember that about her. I learned how to drive when I entered the convent. I was learning how to drive from a state highway patrolman, who was a brother-in-law of one of our sisters. And I had an accident on my second driving lesson. And it was with a parish car, and I'd only been in a parish a month. So it was a very traumatic experience, and I just vowed I'd never get back in a car. And that summer, Mother Blanche made me take driving lessons from AAA. And I've always think that if she hadn't done that, I probably never would have driven if she had. She knew, you know, that she must have known that fear was there. And she made me take her driving lessons. She was the kind of person, too, who helped us a lot with a lot of, you know, when we were young men, she taught us how to make our clothes. That's when we wore the long habit and all the white stuff, you know, things. And, she spent a lot of time with us as young nuns, interested in what we wanted to do and what we wanted to be. She's another one that's very much like, reminds me of Sister Regina. You know, she has retired several years ago, and she's still very active and, you know, very much has her days very filled with doing things for others, driving people to the doctors, that kind of thing. And then Mother Edna Marie was my eighth grade principal when I was, or my grade school principal when I was in grade school. And she was one who appointed me to Ursuline High School at a time when young nuns really weren't sent to high school. I was very young, and I didn't know whether I was really ready for this, but she had confidence in me. She sent me away to school to another day, and then sent me to Ursuline. And I've been here ever since. And then Sister Mary Conroy, who's our present superior, appointed me director of formation. And although that's a somewhat frightening and responsible job, it has been a very growing experience for me in my life, because I've had to learn so much and to do so much and to be, you know, really convinced of my own location, and I have to be able to really believe in what I'm doing. And I've had that. I'm grateful to her for that opportunity.
What changes have you noted from when you first entered until now, years later?
Well, of course, they're the exterior ones that, you know, have a change. And that might be important, and it might not be. But there are the changes, there's changes in ministry and the kinds of work that we do in the community, in the community in Mahoning Valley, you know. Meeting the needs of people in different areas, and we have a sister who works at the Speech and Hearing Center. My sister's involved in poverty program, Upward Bound, and Head Start, and his sister works at the Mahoning County School for the Retarded. So, you know, in the area of service to the people of God in the Youngstown area, that has definitely changed. When I entered the convent, every sister either taught in a grade school or high school, period. And that was the primary work. We have a sister who's a secretary in one of the diocesan offices. We have sisters running adult ed programs, that kind of thing. A lot of these things are, you know, aspects of education, but they're different. A religious life for all communities at the time, when I was a young nun, many of the decisions were made for us. Our lives were very much regulated by rules and regulations. Now, the whole emphasis is on a mature religious woman who is dedicated to Christ and to the gospel message, and can make her own decision, choose, you know, what she wants to major in, for instance, in college. Most of the time we get to at least a preference in what kind of work you'd like to do, where you'd like to live, you know, really assuming leadership roles as religious women in the valley. And I think that is quite a big change, because I think that although the sisters of the past may certainly, you know, like, great sacrifices and they did a very fine job, their role was the role that was particular to that time, and And ours is one that's particular for this time, and it's one that's showing some kind of leadership for women, especially for religious women.
Why do you think it is difficult to get modern women to join a religious life?
I'm not so sure it's as difficult as it's made to be. I think there's a lot of reasons. I think, first of all, part of the history of this old notion of, you know, talking to girls about vocations is that period of time, you know, maybe 10 years ago when religious life changed, when renewal came and all kinds of problems arose and, you know, sisters left communities. And so there was a kind of feeling within sisters that, you know, they wouldn't ask somebody about vocation at that time because there was a lack of confidence. It was very shaking, you know, it was a, just as the changes in the church were very shaking to the laity, they affected religious women too. And so it got to the point where nobody would touch that topic at all and nobody would say anything. And I think that that's changing. I think that if we have religious women who are convinced that there's value to this life and that it is a good life, it is a fulfilling life as a woman, that it is becoming a little bit easier to talk to other young women who feel the call. Christ will always, there are always going to be people called, whether they respond or not. You know, there's, who's to say whether they're going to respond or not. But, you know, I think that it is becoming a little bit easier to talk to about it again. But I think it's the kind of thing where you've got to really be convinced that there's something to, where you really believe that there's something to this life. I think, too, that one of the other reasons that it is maybe difficult to encourage young women is there's so many opportunities for service that there were not before. You know, you've got Peace Corps, you've got, you know, areas of volunteering, writing it, community at large here, and these are, you know, they are fulfilling, they are certainly opportunities for, you know, serving people, and there's also the problem today of anything that's permanent, anything that's temporary. I think we see this in, you know, young sons not wanting to take over family businesses. We see this in the armed services, all areas. And so that idea of a life dedicated to God and about thing, I think that is certainly something that, you know, is hard to talk about. And it's very much part of our culture and probably another reason why it's hard to encourage women in religious life.
What do you think is the future direction of the Ursuline Order?
Well, I could get all excited about the future direction of the Ursuline Order because right now we have 4 young college women who live with us who are going to be Ursuline sisters. And their vision is, you know, a great deal wider and greater than ours. And they are open to meeting the needs of the people of Youngstown, whatever they might be. If you when we entered the convent, the needs were, you know, teaching in elementary school and teaching in high school, and they see all kinds of opportunities or ways of serving the people of God in different kinds of ministry. It might be, you know, a ministry that we had a young girl who was a nurse and who would like to go into the homes of the aged and combine, you know, bringing the gospel message and her nursing ability to these people. And I think that the future of the Ursulines is very hopeful. I think that if God wants us to continue our work here, we will, and He will send us people to help us do that. And I think that that as the years go on, there will be, you know, different kinds of work done by the sisters, and I think we will just continue to mold you and be witness to the gospel and to serve the needs of people, hopefully. I really believe that, though.
Do you have any other comments that you'd like to make?
Well, I could say that perhaps in the last 10 years I've been very much aware of the role that the Arsenal Sisters have played in Youngstown, in this area, and the way that they've played in the lives of my family, people with whom I grew up. And I think that this will continue, and I hope I'm around to see it continue.